Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Jane Russell. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm so happy to be working. I need the money. I went out to Santa Anita the other day. I drove out there humming It's a Good Day and walked back singing I Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. It's the only place I know in the world where vultures circle over the parking lot. They're not really vultures. They're carrier pigeons with an offer for your car strapped to their legs. But almost everybody's a horse player. Horse player, that's G. He's leading in the stretch. I can't lose. I'll buy my wife a coat made of fox fur. I'll buy her a mink coat. I'll buy her one made out of ermine. Whoops. Well, our Cocker Spaniel will die any day now. But I knew I had a good bet in the first race. My horse came out wearing track shorts. He was a Florida horse. He would have won, too, if he hadn't stopped in the backstretch to sneer at our oranges. One jockey must have been using a battery. Every time he'd hit his horse, the street lights would go on in Arcadia. And here it is, time for income tax again. Income tax, that's the government's version of Santa Anita. I had a big year, though. I worked all year long, and I managed to get into a bracket where the tax department has to send me a care package. I went down to the income tax office with Jane Russell. I didn't want him watching my form too closely. I started to help Jane Russell make out her income tax, but she didn't like the way I went about it. I don't know why. It says right on the form, withholding. When my brother filled out his income tax, he listed as dependents a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. Tax collector didn't mind that, but for their place of residence, he put down Santa Anita. We call him Portia now because he's facing life. Everybody's afraid they won't have any money left when they die, but Jack Benny discovered a way to take it with him. He had his appendix taken out and a piggy bank put in. You know, Crosby doesn't send in his tax. A revenue man just stands in front of his house with a vacuum cleaner and sucks up what spills out the window.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bob has decided to get a head start on his income tax. Right now, he's busy filling out his return.
Now, let's see. It says, read following instructions for filling out tax form. All right, here goes. Consult Section J, Schedule B under Dependents, unless Paragraph 9, Section Q indicates exemptions as listed under Taxable Income, Section 5, Division 8, plus estimated tax under withholding provisions of Schedule M, page 11. Well, that's plain enough for anybody. Now, what's next? Oh, yes, deductions for professional entertainment during 1952.
Don't forget that big New Year's party you gave. The one with Dorothy L'Amour, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Lana Turner.
Yeah, I put that down under medical expenses.
Medical expenses?
Yeah, after the party, the doctor had to come over and retread my eyeballs.
Doctors are really rough, aren't they, Bob?
Yeah, they sure are, Bill. Down in Washington, they even have a drive-in tax payment plan. You drive in and blow your horn for curb service.
Then they come out and take your money?
No, your car. Well, I've got to finish out making this return out. Now, I've done Schedule J. I've got to do Schedule X, and I...
Bob, aren't you finished with that thing yet?
No, Maggie, it takes time.
Well, you've got plenty of deductions, Bob.
Yeah, I guess so. For example, being an actor, all the money I spend on clothes is deductible. A tailor's important to a performer.
That's right.
I know my tailor is responsible for the way I look.
Maybe you ought to sue him.
Next week, folks, be sure to listen to Margaret Whiting, the songbird of the unemployment office.
Bob, why don't you give up trying to do your own income form?
Yeah, I suppose I do need some help.
Oh, sure, Bob. Now, there's a wonderful tax man in town. See, he does a lot of work for people in show business. His name is Harkins, and he's in the Wilshire building.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Well, why don't you go see him, Bob?
Oh, I think I will. I'll do it right now. See you later.
So long, Bob.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Are you Mr. Harkins?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Well, I need some help with my income tax.
Well, I'm expecting another client in a few minutes, but perhaps I can squeeze you in.
Oh, fine.
Filing a tax return is very important. You know, taxes are the lifeblood of the government, the injection of plasma that keeps it alive. Now, what was your name?
Joyce Jordan, girl intern. No, my name is really Bob Hope.
All right. I'll just put that down here on this form. Name, Bob Hope. Now then, Mr. Hope, your occupation, please.
Oh, you're kidding. You've heard of me, you must. Bob Hope. What about the road to Valley?
If it was a business trip, you can deduct it.
Look, I'm Bob Hope, the comedian. I do a morning radio show, I do an evening radio show, I do television, I work in pictures.
Well, why don't you get one job and stick to it?
In my business, you've got to keep moving.
And now, Mr. Hope, are you a native of California?
Yes, sir. I was born in Ohio.
I guess that makes you a native, all right.
Oh, yes, I'm a real Californian. I've been here 20 years and I haven't unpacked.
You haven't unpacked? Why not?
With all the smog, I can't find my suitcase.
Oh, by George, that was a good one, a real Peacherino.
Oh, brother, this guy is so square, he blocks his own hat.
Mr. Hawkins, I am here.
Oh, Mr. Von Himmelstasser, come in. You're a little early.
Yeah, I know, but don't mind me. Just go ahead with this funny-looking schmo.
Schmo? Perhaps you two gentlemen know each other. Mr. Von Himmelstasser is a well-known movie director.
Oh, really? Well, you look very familiar to me, Fritz. Didn't we meet in Switzerland last summer?
And that's possible.
I didn't recognize you without the keg of brandy around your neck.
That's very clever for a schnook.
Mr. Von Himmelstasher, I'll be through with Mr. Hope's tax return in a minute, then we can go on to yours.
Ach, wunderschön. Mine taxes don't take long, you know.
How come?
Oh, but that's very simple, you see. Last year, my picture company made 67 movies, employed 10,000 people, used 5,000 feet of film, and had an income of $9,200,000.
Yeah, well, how much did you make for yourself?
$1.85. See, I got myself a new idea. You heard, maybe you heard of three-dimensional movies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah, but I got it a process that's going to beat them all, you know. It's a photographic impulse magnified on a graphic plate with an F2 lens and a cycloramic conductor that splits the light spectrum, thus making possible a super-sensitive hyper-image.
What kind of a camera do you use?
A brownie. But it's great, I tell you. I'm going to make a fortune.
Oh, this kid has flipped his liverwort.
Thank you. That's real crazy, isn't it?
Interested in three-dimension. Are you ready to make a picture with yours?
Oh, yeah, sure. I got the camera, the shooting script, the studio. I'm ready, Chuck. Oh.
Well, I've had quite a bit of experience. Do you think you can work me into your three-dimensional pictures?
No, that's too bad. You should have been around sooner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I just finished making a sequel to that wonderful picture, The Bad and the Beautiful.
What was it called?
The Good and Ugly. Where were you when we were casting?
you believe me.
Well, Bob is determined to have a part in that three-dimension picture, and he thinks now he's found a way to work his way into the deal. As a matter of fact, right now, Bob is entering the Beverly Hills Beauty Parlor.
Good morning. The Beverly Hills House of Beauty welcomes you. Oh, it's Mr. Hope.
Yes, I phoned Jane Russell's house, and they told me she was over here.
Well, that's right. Miss Russell is in booth 5, right through there.
Oh, thank you. Here we are, booth 5. Well, look who's here. Hello, Jane.
Oh, hello, Bob.
Mind if I come in?
No, not at all. Are you just passing by, or are you next under the hairdryer?
No, I was in yesterday with Bing.
Bing?
Yeah, he was having his cheeks stretched to get that innocent, wide-eyed look.
But I've got something very important to discuss with you, Jane. Can I sit down?
Why, sure, Bob. I've just had a manicure. I'm waiting for my nails to dry.
Yeah, I could use one myself.
Let's see your hands. Why, Bob, what beautiful fingernails.
Yeah, I saw them in Max Factor's window, and they looked so pretty, I couldn't resist.
What is it you want to talk to me about?
Well, you've had a little vacation since you finished your last picture, and I thought you'd like to make a 3D film.
No, thanks.
Well, you shouldn't pass up this offer, Jane. Everyone in Hollywood is going nuts about 3D.
I know, Bob. I could hardly get an appointment in here today. Everyone's getting fixed up for three dimensions.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Who's that?
Kirk Douglas. He's having the cleft in his chin made deeper.
Too deep now. In his last picture, he tried to smoke a cigarette for 10 minutes and then discovered he had it in the wrong mouth.
I think Kirk Douglas is just charming with that dimple in his chin.
Yeah, he's the only guy I know with a hole in the head that pays off.
Well, I've really got to go now, Bob. Goodbye.
No, Jane, listen to me. This is your chance to get into the 3D picture with a big up-to-date studio, the finest technicians, and the hottest director in the business. Eric von Himmelstoffer.
Well, I suppose it wouldn't do any harm if I went over to his studio and met him.
Oh, fine, Jane. I'll pick you up after lunch and drive you over there.
Okay.
Well, here we are, Jane.
Oh, look at all the hoof prints in the ground. Do they make westerns here?
No, Jane. This studio is just used for special occasions. The other day, Francis the Mule gave a cocktail party here for 300 jackasses. How was it? Oh, here's the director I want you to meet, Jane. Oh, Himmelstoffer, this is Jane Russell.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Jane, Eric Von is a very famous Viennese director.
Ach, yeah, I live all my life in Vienna, you know. I'm a student of old Heidelberg.
Really?
Yeah, that's the best beer we got over there.
Oh, Bob tells me you make very fine pictures, Mr. Himmelstoffer.
Ach, poops, and you just called me Eric Von.
Oh, thank you. Bob says you're quite famous, Eric.
Yeah, you see, I made the picture that won first prize at the Salzburg Film Festival.
Really? What picture was that?
Well, that was called Igor Magia Amistase Bode Ichten Megsten mit der Himmelschmidt Todi Hunyadi Zug.
Oh, a short subject.
What was it called in this country?
Ma and Pa Kettle make a Hassenpfeffer. Oh, I can tell this guy is a real Viennese. Every time he says anything, his lower plate waltzes.
You know, Eric, well, now that I've met you, I'm very impressed.
Oh, danke schön.
Say, that scar on your face is very romantic, Eric.
That's
is
his
it...
mouth.
Is that a saber cut from your student days in Bavaria?
Nein, from the Navaloni, Sheriff. During the summer, I'm a lifeguard at Santa Monica.
I've seen your head at Muscle Beach. Look, Eric. You were telling me you're going to clean up by bringing out a three-dimension movie. If I can get Jane Russell to work in your picture, will you let me in on some of that loot?
Yes, but put Bob in the picture, too.
I can play any kind of part.
But let me look on you.
Well, you ought to be able to use me, Eric. People tell me I have a certain foreign look.
Yeah. You got a face like a Doberman Pinscher.
Well, that's my good side.
If you wish, I'm going to test you both for my picture.
Oh, wonderful. When do we start?
Oh, we do a scene right now. And remember, this is third dimension. So give me your best acting.
Well, people need glasses to watch this picture, Eric.
Oh, yeah, plenty of glasses. And the more glasses they have, the better the picture's going to look.
What's the story, Eric?
You are owner of a rubber plantation in the tropics, see? And Jane is Tandalea, a beautiful native girl. You are crazy about her. And all the time it's rain.
I think I've heard this plot before.
But the title of the picture is Ice Cube.
Ice Cube?
Yeah, that's rain in three dimensions.
How do you like this? A cheese blitz cornball.
Well, go on with the story, Eric.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, when you first come to this plantation, you are the fine gentleman, you know, tall, cool, well-dressed. Oh, now it's 5 years later. You are a bum! You are ragged, dirty, with weak, shifty eyes. You understand?
I think so. I start out like Cary Grant and wind up like Crosby.
Then we start. I'm going to play some music on the phonograph to put you in the mood.
All right. Tandalea.
Where the devil are you, Tandalea?
Oh, yes, Master. Your head hurt again, Master?
It's the rain, Tandalea. I can't stand it. Why doesn't it stop? It goes on and on and on and on and on.
Are you supposed to be smart, man? What they do in your country when something you know like goes on and on and on?
We held an election.
Mix me a gin sling.
The tropics no good for you. 5 years ago, you have fine plantation. Many tree, much rubber. Now all gone.
Who cares?
You gone to pot.
Well, I couldn't find my girdle this morning.
Tandalea loves you. Give me your lips.
Hmm.
Give me your lips.
What are you going to do with him?
You marry Tandalea, yes?
No, I'm sorry, Tandalea, but I got a wife in Milwaukee, another in Kansas City, and wives in Schenectady, and Albany, and Providence, and Boston.
So many wives?
Well, I was a truck driver, and every time a tire blew out, I got acquainted with another girl.
Why didn't you marry all of them?
Well, I had to. I couldn't change those big, heavy tires by myself.
Please, tell Tandalea the truth. Are you really married?
Yeah, Tandalea, I'm married. I got plenty of troubles, a lot of debts, and a wife and 15 kids. And it all goes to prove one thing.
What?
Never wave at a whack. But anyway, Tandalea...
Cut! Please, don't make jokes in the story.
Well, I don't get this whole thing. What's three-dimension about this?
But the whole thing is three-dimension. It's in 3 reels. We use 3 cameras. We make it in 3 weeks. And at the end of the picture...
Yes?
You marry Tandalea and have triplets.
Eric, I'm sure your three-dimension picture, Rain, is going to be very good. And Bob and I would be very glad to appear in it.
Yeah, and it's going to be very realistic. You see, this big tank up over our heads contains 100,000 gallons of water to make the rain we're going to use in the picture.
Oh, but it's dangerous, a huge tank like that just propped up by a few loose planks. Look, Eric, I'll kick one of the planks and show you how loose it is.
Oh, look out, Bob.
strong.
Well, you told me I'd wind up like Crosby. Now I'm masked out flatter than Crosby.
I don't understand, Bob. Bing is like this, too?
Yeah, they had to flatten Crosby out. It was the only way they could get him between the covers of the Saturday Evening Post.
I want to thank Jane Russell, Hans Conried, Bob Sweeney, and all our regular gang for the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen.
The Bob Hope Show, transcribed from Hollywood, California, with Les Brown and his band of renown. With yours truly, Hi Averback. Our special guests, William Holden, Jack Kirkwood, and the Bell Sisters. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here I am back in Hollywood. High dramatic, huh? I just got back from a little trip to Hawaii, and I had a marvelous time. I didn't intend to go to Hawaii. They got such a complicated flood control system here in California now that every time I try to cross the gutter on Vine Street, I wind up in Honolulu. Thank you, pedestrians. Thank you. I'm lucky to be back, though. My pilot was an Hawaiian, and when we flew in over the harbor, he wanted to dive for pennies. And they held a luau in my honor. A luau, that's a Hawaiian expression meaning as the sun sinks in the west, we say aloha to our stomachs. Boy. I was lying on... I was lying on the beach all covered with sand with just my head sticking out, and a lady tourist from Iowa fell at and said, "Get a hammer, Henry, and we'll see if there's milk in this one." And that hula dance is really exciting. They say that in the hula, every movement has a message. I don't know if that's true, but it sure made it tough for Western Union. And those Polynesians over there are such wonderful, simple people. They think if they lead a good life when they die, they'll go on the Arthur Godfrey program. While I was in Hawaii, I scouted around for a good location spot for the new road picture, The Road to Bali. The scenery in Hawaii is perfect, and after the picture's release, it'll make a good hideout. You gotta think, you know. Bing is in the picture not only because the producer made a mistake. He thought it was belly, not ballet. You know, from the way I talk, you'd think I didn't like Bing. And I like an audience to think. Crosby sings in this picture, but Paramount isn't taking any chances. They're going to have Gary standing by in case of a power failure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bob just spent a week in Hawaii appearing for the servicemen, and Bob had just returned from the islands, and I was over at his house helping him unpack.
Don't they make nice things over in Hawaii High? Look at these beads made out of coral. I got a dozen strings for the girls in the front office of the studio, and I got several pairs of cufflinks carved out of coconut shells for the fellas over there.
Well, gee, Bob, you brought a lot of stuff for everyone else. So why didn't you bring something back for yourself?
Well, I wanted to, but I couldn't because of a little technicality in the customs law. It seems you can't bring a grass skirt into the country until you remove the contents. I was the only passenger coming down the gangplank whose valise was playing Dreams Come True in Blue Hawaii. Hand me those seashells high on that native spear. I'm going to put those in the den.
Hey, looks like you did get around over there in the islands, huh?
What do you mean?
Well, this picture here. Bob, you've never had a girl this good looking before.
Hi, that's a mask for a witch doctor. Besides, my girl's ears aren't half that big since she had them clipped by the vets.
Oh, well, Bob, we've unpacked just about everything. I've got to run along. I'll see you later.
Okay, hi. The nerve of that guy making cracks about my girl's looks. I'm nuts about Charmaine. What a beautiful name that is. Charmaine. Charmaine Finkenstunk. Gee, my secretary, Miss Hughes, hasn't seen any of these things I brought back with me. I think I'll call her in. No, I've got a better idea. I'll put on this witch doctor's mask, and I'll open the door and scare her.
Oh, he startled me. Mr. Hope isn't here right now. Why don't you sit down and wait for him, Charmaine?
No, it's me, Miss Hughes.
Oh, good, Mr. Hope. Some bills are piled up while you were gone. Here they are.
What else?
Your agent says he thinks he can get William Holden for your radio show.
Well, tell him I'll handle that myself. Bill Holden lives right next door. I can walk over and talk to him. I may make a better deal if I give him one of those ukuleles I brought back from Honolulu. I'll give him this damage when he'll never notice it. You know, I've taken a couple of lessons. Listen, Miss Hughes.
Dreams come true in blue Hawaii. In blue, it would never quit until I did blue.
You know, I can have Godfrey here just like that.
In blue Hawaii, I spent that night of night.
Mr. Hope.
Yes?
You're not thinking of taking this up seriously, are you?
I think so. Why?
Then I better renew your insurance in the Blue Cross plan.
Some people just don't appreciate good music. Well, I better get over to Bill Holden's house. Gee, this place looks very impressive from out here in front. I've been waiting for Holden to invite me over, but then he's only been here for 3 or 4 years. Signs says danger, electric gate, do not touch. 5,000 volts. Oh, I know how to get through those electric gates. I'll just lift the latch with this wooden pencil. Oh, well, my coat looks more casual without sleeves.
Stay, please, sir. Me open gate for you.
Oh, good. It's the Japanese gardener. Thank you.
Also.
Well. Gee, your shrubbery looks nice, and that hedge running along the side must be the tallest in North Hollywood. Must be 9 or 10 feet high.
Oh, yes. Very tall. Also, very thick.
Very thick, though.
Yeah. Oh. Betcha. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good, sir. Oh. Yeah, more.
No, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
No, sir.
With a twilight. Oh, yeah. Hi-yah. Oh, why? Why did you let it get so tall and thick? To keep out stray cats and dogs?
Also, keep out somebody next door named, Mr. Hope.
Mr. Hope, why would the Holdens want to keep him out?
Oh, many reasons. When Mr. Holden are building house, Mr. Hope come over nighttime, steal many bundle shingles.
Well, maybe one or two shingles, but I'm sure he didn't take very many.
Oh, no? Take a look on top of Mr. Holden's house. One half of top is redwood, and look what we have to use to finish other half.
Jeez. surplus army blankets. I wondered why the whole second story flapped on windy nights. Well, I've wasted enough time standing here. I better go up and knock on the door. If Holden's peeved at me, it can't be just because we live next door to each other. He's making pictures at Paramount, too, and there's bound to be trouble whenever there's two good-looking men at the same studio. I'll knock again.
Good day, sir. Could I help you?
This may be the United Nations. Yes, I have a ukulele here for Mr. Holden.
A ukulele what, sir?
A ukulele. Look, I'll show you. Dreams come true in blue Hawaii.
Thank you. Over and over, you've got to feed that cocker spaniel on time.
What's going on here anyway?
Well, as you know, I'm Bob Hope, and I just got back from Hawaii, so I thought I'd come over and say hello.
Hello.
No. Open up. Let me in. I want to talk to you.
What do you want?
Well, could I come in?
Well, I guess so. Come on in.
But Mr. Holden...
It's all right, Parkins. The children have all been vaccinated.
Look, I don't know why you're taking this attitude.
I'd feel a lot friendlier toward you if you were a better neighbor. Since I've lived next to you, a lot of things have turned up missing around here.
Are you insinuating that I took them?
Well, all I know is that last year, most of the fruit on my trees disappeared.
Yeah? Well, the birds around here eat a lot of fruit.
I know. And according to my wife, you've got the biggest beak in the flock.
Now, you listen to me. I've got a few complaints against you.
Oh, yeah? For instance?
Well, for one thing, during that last storm, the rain came right through the roof and leaked into the living room.
Well, what about it?
Why do you buy such cheap shingles? Gee, Bill, don't be sore at me. Let's be friends. Look, I brought you ukulele all the way from Hawaii.
And now, never mind that. And furthermore, I wish you'd quit throwing your trash into my yard. When anybody swims in my pool, they have to stay underwater. Every time they come up, they get hit with a flying beer can.
I guess I haven't been such a good neighbor, but I could turn over a new leaf. Then we could be friends.
Well, sure, if you really want to, Bob. Now, by the way, how was your trip to the island?
Well, to tell you the truth, it was a little disappointing. I went over to look after some interests I have over there.
Some interest?
Yeah. Crosby let me in on the ground floor on a money-making proposition. I traveled 4,000 miles and found out the whole thing was worthless.
Gee, I didn't know you could go wrong with Crosby. What kind of a deal was it?
Well, he sold me 1,000 shares in a pineapple mine. At first, I couldn't believe that pineapples came from a mine, but Bing was very convincing. He even explained that the hole in the middle of the slices came from blasting. Well, I gotta go. My agent will call you about being on my show. Oh, by the way, coming in your front gate, I got quite a shock.
Oh, yes, the front gate is electric. Why don't you go out the back gate? Right over there.
Oh, thanks.
That's it. Now, just reach in and lift the latch.
Oh, gee, oh, fire.
I got a little Crosby in me, too.
Here's a very welcome. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we present one of the truly great personalities of our time, a man beloved by all. An entertainer who has brought joy to thousands. An artist in the grand tradition. A man whose talent is très formidable. Par excellence.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's true.
And here he is, the promise of real entertainment for any audience, Tony Martin.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, turn in your ashtray. You're through. Thank you.
You know, Bob, the music business is taking a very interesting turn. What with the new styles of singing and these novelty tunes that are so popular.
Oh, I know. They're really wild. I heard one the other day. It was called, "You Must Have Poured Molasses on My Heart Because I'm Really Stuck on You."
But, Bob, you should hear the doll that's on the other side of the record.
What is it?
Well, it's called, "I'm Dancing with Tears in My Eyes Because the Girl in My Arms is Arthur Murray."
By the way, Tony, there's a sensible little song that my brother Jack wrote with Lyle Moraine for the picture Son of Paleface.
Oh, Son of Paleface.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the wonderful new Paramount picture starring Jane Russell, Roy Rogers, Trigger, and you? Yeah. I hear it's great.
Oh, well, it's very kind of you to say that.
Kind. Before we went on the air, he tattooed it on my eyeballs. I didn't know your brother Jack wrote music.
Everybody in my family's got talent, Tony. Jack writes songs, another brother dances, I'm a comedian, but my brother in Cleveland makes all the money.
What does he do?
He's a butcher. He's loaded. Once a year, he sends his thumb out to California for a tan. Hey, should we have a go at the tune for my brother Jack?
Yeah, go.
I hope Lyle Moraine gets it. There's.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we present a saga of the racetrack titled Winner Take All, starring William Holden, assisted by Bob Hope, the Laurence Olivier of the $2 window.
Steady high, no ad-libbing. Don't be independent just because you got a job lined up. Lather boy at the Turkish bath. Just read the announcement. Give him some music, Les.
We take you now to the racetrack. Not the grandstand where the banners are flying, but back to the barns and the stables where the real life of the track is carried on. Our central character is a man who makes his living as a jockey's agent.
That's me. My name is Feedbag McCoy. I'm a jockey's agent. Right now I'm in a bad run of luck. I'm so broke that lately I've been sneaking into the stables and eating the oats. I guess I've been eating too many oats. Now, no matter where a fly lights on me, I don't have to move. I can twitch him off. Gee, if I could only find a jockey, a good jockey.
Oh, excuse me, are you Feedbag McCoy?
That's right.
Did you put this ad in the paper? Wanted someone who knows how to win a race against big-time competition?
Yeah. You a jockey?
Jockey? Well, I thought you wanted a running mate for Cherry Coke.
Go on, get out of here.
Just a second, Feedbag. This guy might be just the one we need.
Yeah. Hey, you. Do you think you could get down to 97 pounds by Thursday?
97? Sure.
How much do you weigh now?
212.
How can you take off 115 pounds in 2 days?
Haven't you heard of Rye Crisp?
You know, McCoy, now that I look at this guy, he might be a spy from one of the other stables.
Me?
Yeah. If you haven't done any riding, where'd you get those bow legs?
Well, I used to be a tree surgeon and I didn't have a ladder.
Okay, kid, you're hired. Put your suitcase in that bunk over there.
That's how I met the famous Feedbag McCoy and became a jockey. McCoy wanted me to start from the bottom, so he made me work in the stables, live in the stables, and sleep in the stables. But he fed me pretty well. Every day I had 2 chlorophyll sandwiches and a large glass of Stop-Ets. It was coming up to the big race, and I had to get in condition, so McCoy sent me over to the jockey's exercise room. All I could see in the room was a man standing on his head. I walked over to him and said, "Hey, what's the idea of standing on your head?"
"Prevents fallen arches, boy."
Oh, not perfect, no. Well, I got to get in shape. I'm going to ride in the big race Saturday.
Aren't you a little chubby for that sort of thing?
Well, I guess I would have to take off a few pounds to be a jockey.
You'd have to take off a few pounds to be a horse.
Are you the athletic trainer?
That's right, son. And I called you son because it's shining through that hole in your head.
I'm ready to start. What do I do first?
Well, you can't exercise in all those clothes. You mind if I take off your shirt?
No, I guess not. Gee, this is a nice place you got here.
Oh, this is the most up-to-date gymnasium in America, boy. We've even got parallel bars.
Yeah, but all gymnasiums have parallel bars.
One for scotch and one for bourbon? Now, first, I'll hold this stethoscope to your chest. Breathe in.
Okay.
Breathe out. That's fine. Congratulations.
For what?
You'll know in the morning. I'm a spy for your draft board. Now, remember, I'm very particular who I train. You have to pass a difficult entrance examination. You must answer all these questions. First, do you have muscular reflex coordination?
No.
Do you have 20/20 vision?
No.
Have you supernormal reflexes? Have you above average hearing? Have you first class stamina?
No.
Have you got
no.
$10?
Yes.
Shake hands, boy. You made the grade.
Thank you. It was the day of the big race. I figured I'd win the handicap because I had the horse for the best breeding. Cherry Coke. Cherry Coke. It was out of Fizzwater by Large Burp. A big crowd had turned out for the handicap. I was proud as I rode into the paddock. I'd been a poor kid all my life, and here I was dressed in jockey silks. Silk cap, silk shirt, silk pants, and underneath burlap shorts. Feedbag McCoy came over to me and said,
I got $10,000 bet in this race. If we win, we'll be rich.
I'll do my best to make the horse go fast, sir.
Oh, he'll go fast. I've got electric batteries under the saddle. I fed the horse a bucket of Benzedrine, and instead of a whip, I want you to use this ice pick.
This would sound very suspicious, sir, if I did not know that you were honest.
Well, good luck, kid. I'll be waiting at the finish line.
This race will start any second, folks. They're all lined up, and there they go.
My horse was the first one out of the starting gate. In no time at all, I had circled the track and was back in the starting gate. Get up, boy! We were going past the grandstand for the first time. My horse was running on three legs. I could never break into the habit of waving bye-bye to the crowd.
The horses are going down the straightaway. They're really moving.
Come on, Cherry Coke. You gotta win. Keep going.
Look, Cherry Coke is going around the first turn.
Yeah, and Hope's Nose is going around the second turn.
Gee, Cherry Coke, we're 100 lengths ahead and we're going to win. We're going to win the big handicap. Gee, only a few yards to go. What happened? Somebody shot my horse.
That's right, boy, I did.
But Cherry Coke almost had that race won. We'd have been rich.
Yeah, but why did you do it?
I couldn't let you win, boy. If you'd won, you'd have got ambitious. You'd want to be the greatest jockey in the world. And it's all so foolish because you're not going to be a jockey.
Why not?
I forgot to tell you. I'm also president of your draft board.
Thanks for being with us, and join us again next week, same time, same station. This is High Everback saying so long for Bob Hope and the whole gang. See you soon.